I want to, the month of November, I was on deliverance, and I have one more that, although we're December the 1st today, I have one more before I begin the series on Christ's advent or Christ coming to earth and what it means to each one of us. But deliverance from strongholds is my message this morning. I'd like for you to turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. And I will be reading together beginning with verse 2. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to hold as I expected to be towards some people who think that the standards that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This morning, I want to begin this way. Every one of us, if you're a Christian, has the right to and the availability of being a victorious Christian, a person that walks in the power of God, that has at their access tremendous power, as well as joy, peace, love, patience, all the things that God wants us to have. But I've got news for you. Many Christians, as a matter of fact, sometimes I think it's most Christians, walk in weakness, walk in defeat, walk in struggle, are oppressed, and they can't figure out what the problem is. They continually fight war the way the world says you ought to fight, instead of fighting it the way God says that we fight, and to understand who we're really fighting and what's going on. I went to Texas to be with my daughter. She has a newborn, and all of us were assigned a different week. Well, I had Thanksgiving week to go and to be with my grandchildren and to help out. I get there on Monday, and I take my granddaughter, and we do everything in the world. We go to the park, and it was windy there. Texas is windy. You ever been to Texas? Man, that's the windiest place I've ever been in my life. The wind's never below 20 miles an hour. It's always windy, and it was windy then. But it was windy. I'm afraid that affected my children, my grandchild, because she got sick on Tuesday, and I was very concerned about my granddaughter. We took her to the doctor. She was running 102 degrees fever, and she had had a cough, and the doctor checked her for everything. The flu, checked her for everything that possible that you could have. And RSV, is that what? Anyway, the different childhood sicknesses that they could have, and she didn't have any of it. So my daughter said, well, what is it? And he says, I think it's a bacterial infection, but we're not sure. It could be a virus. Let me give you a Z-Pak, and by Thursday, she should be feeling fine. You take it for 5 days. Well, on Tuesday evening, she was in the bed. She didn't want to do anything, and we had to change the whole household. The newborn baby stays in the bedroom. My granddaughter was sick. She had to stay either in the playroom or her room. And Caleb was going to take care of Charlotte, and Mary Catherine was going to take care of the baby. And I was in the middle to take care of stuff, whatever it was. And we lived that way for 2 days. Coming into Thanksgiving, we even were that way till Thanksgiving afternoon. She started feeling better. My Thanksgiving evening, Thursday evening, she was feeling really good. Had a good night, didn't run any more fever. And Friday was a wonderful day, and Saturday was even better, and I was so thankful. And all of us had a better attitude and a better... Whenever you got sickness in the household, which I know you've never had, and you've got more than one adult there, you're at each other, you know. Well, you go. No, you do this. Or I just did that. Are you going to, you know, are we going to take her to the doctor? What should, well, I think she's okay like this. Everybody, you know what I mean? Because Caleb was laid back. You talk about laid back, oh, she'll be fine. And Mary Catherine's like, but I don't want the baby to get, or have you? So it was interesting just sitting back and watching that dynamic. What I'm getting to, whenever you have a sickness, it diminishes the power, the joy, the life of Christ in you. And we can get sick as Christians. Now, the term used is strongholds. And I want to talk about strongholds this morning because they are very dangerous for the Christian, and they can cause you to have problems. I spoke of the armor of the Lord last Sunday in relationship to Thanksgiving. This morning I want to talk a bit about the armor of the Lord and how we are to use it to get rid of strongholds. Now, first of all, a definition of a stronghold. It's an area in your life that you have not surrendered to Christ that has now become a place where Christ can't penetrate. You can't get victory over it. You can't see what God's power over it. And it brings you down. It's like a sickness. It's like a virus. Every time that you start going forward in Christ, this stronghold pops up and begins to show itself and drags you back down. And every one of us at some time have a stronghold. You might have one this morning, and I want to talk about it because until you get rid of the stronghold, an area where Christ can't be and where most of the time it's sin of one nature or the other has not been exposed or taken care of. It's a place where Satan can do warfare with us in our spirits, our minds, and our souls. It is a place where demons can inflict great oppression against us. It is also a place of great temptation and defeat. Why is it important to tear down every stronghold according to the scripture that we read? Because these dark places can give birth to more sickness and more strongholds, and you can have a domino effect. Now, on a dark Sunday, which I didn't plan, I didn't pray for a dark Sunday. I think we're going to talk about dark stuff. But how can you tear down the stronghold? In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I want you to know that you're not helpless as a Christian with these strongholds. You are not incapable of bringing down the strongholds. The Lord has said, we need to bring them down. We need to get rid of them. We need to take care of them. The thing that I'd like for you to know, though, is strongholds are birthed and dwell in deception. So naturally, the cure is to bring the truth of God, the Word of God, against these strongholds. You debunk the lies of the enemy and the truth, which is the Word of God. We had Mary Catherine took the child to the doctor, and he prescribed a Z-Pak. Now, most of you know what that is. It's a very strong short-term medicine, and it targets the bacteria that's in there, and it did its job. Unless you have something that targets the whatever caused that stronghold, you will not get rid of it. You can't just sit down and say, God, take this stronghold away from me. Yes, God can heal you of that stronghold. But hear me, it comes with the word, the truth of God. You see, the lies of Satan's the reason it got there. And only the truth of God can diminish it. So here, I want you to understand this morning how you get rid of strongholds. It is through the word of God. To bring down every thought captive, to make it obedient to Christ. Now, within the stronghold is thinking that's wrong. We have accepted a lie, and that lie has germinated in a stronghold, a place where it hasn't been given over to God yet, and now it is to be attacked. With every thought that comes out of a stronghold in our life needs to be attacked with Christ Jesus. And I want you to understand his solution is in my word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. We say that all the time, and we have different reasons for saying it or different references. But I want you to understand, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall set your bondage free. Many people are in bondage and they don't know it. Christians can be in bondage and they don't know it because they have a stronghold that they've never given over to Christ. Now, the first truth we must begin to realize and we need to address is this, and that is where the truth lies. It is the Word of God. It is the infallible Word of the living God. Now I want to say this. This is where today I hear more and more attacks. And you can understand Satan, because if Satan can take the Word of God out of play, he can oppress you, he can create strongholds, he can weaken you as a Christian. I don't know how many, there's something like 62 books, I believe I read at your Barnes and Nobles that says the Bible's a bunch of junk, says the Bible is not the Word of God. It speaks against the Word of God. And it goes through and shows, some of them have 22,000, one book is 22,000 contradictions in the Bible, which is absolute lie. It's taking things out of context and making them contradict. But anyway, I want you to know that the Word of God in your mind must be fixed, that it is the Word of truth. The place that Satan begins to tear us down is when he begins to say, this is not the truth. You get the truth anywhere you want to. God will give you individual truth. You don't need to go to the Word of God. But my friends, I want you to know something. If the truth that God has given you doesn't coincide with the Word of God, then it is not truth. Period. Okay? The truth of God is in the Word of God. The second truth that I think is very important is your view of God, your view of yourself, and the next view is how God views you. All of this is very important, because out of this can come a stronghold. There are excellent verses that I have gotten on from the Bible to deal with deliverance from strongholds, and I have those right here. And I put on the back, if you would like a copy of these, and basically what these are, for instance, how God sees me. And there's about 10 verses here. And you can read these verses, and when you do, it addresses that problem, if you have it, that you have a poor view of God or how God sees you. who we are in Christ. It has some more scripture. Forgiveness of sin. Some people cannot get to the point that they accept God's forgiveness. They go through life with this sin that they've asked for forgiveness, God has forgiven them, and Satan keeps torturing them with that sin. And that's a stronghold, an area where Christ has relieved them, given them freedom, but they walk in slavery, bondage, to a past sin. Now the next is deliverance. There are many scriptures on deliverance. God's love and mercy for us, for instance, but it is written, "I had not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." That gives you a great deal of joy knowing that God has mercy and love for you. Salvation, and then God provisions for each one of us. So I've got all these, and if you would like, you want to look at these and say, I'm going to keep these at the front. I'm going to have these during my sermon. But I'm going to have these at front. If you would like to get a copy, I can email you a copy. I thought I'd do that rather than making copies. So if you'd like a copy of these, and let me tell you, it works. I've had times, extreme struggles, and I wrote down the scriptures that deal with that struggle, and I repeated them constantly, and I would pray them. And I want you to know, that truth diminishes the lies. But you have to have light to do away with darkness. Okay? I want to talk a minute about deliverance because from bondages. And there are three stages of bondage. And I want you, each one of you, to understand. Most of us don't realize there's stages of bondage as a Christian and as non-Christians. The first is the stage of deception. Ignorance, strongholds, and deception. Deception meaning you have been deceived on something. There has been a lie told you. And over the time, you have accepted that lie as truth. And that lie has become a festering sickness, a point of sickness. And as long as you accept that lie and not the word or truth of God, you will have a stronghold. The primary weapon of the devil is to put a person into a stage of bondage and some stage of bondage where Satan can get at you, where he can oppress you. Now, I want to talk just a minute about the fact that there are three stages. The first stage is deception and the beginning of a bondage. The second is a root of bitterness, a root, which means there is roots that are beginning to form in that bondage. And you know what roots do? When somebody says to you, have you put down roots here yet? Well, I've been here 16 years and I think I've pretty much put down roots here. Okay? How long you been here, Don? The area. 25. I think your roots are here. Pretty rooted. Well, that's what it means. When Satan has put down roots, it means it's going to be hard to get out. How many of you have a garden? And in that garden, you have weeds. How do you get the weeds out? You got to pull them up by the roots. True. Because if you just pull the tops off, they're coming back. The roots are there. The same principle is true of the bondages that Satan brings. Oh, the lies, the festering lies that can become roots. And the roots are hard to get out. And Satan uses that area of your life to bring you down, to depress you, to oppress you, to discourage you as a Christian. You ever been discouraged as a Christian? I believe there are times that all of us are. But when this becomes a regular process, I believe Satan is putting down roots. And so the second stage is roots. The third stage is demon possession. Now, this is my theological view, and I believe I can bear it out in Scripture, that I do not believe Christians can be demon possessed. If you have Christ in your life, if you have the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in, He begins to work in your life. And the Holy Spirit cannot be where demons are. So how can anybody say, I think that Christian's demon possessed? I don't think so. I don't think it's possible. I think that they can be demon oppressed, and they can have roots that are strong in their strongholds that are put there by Satan. But as far as being possessed by demons, if you are possessed of the Holy Spirit, then you're not possessed of demons. You can't be. So who are we talking about? When Jesus went around the countryside and he would cast out demons, who is he talking about casting out demons out of? People that were ungodly people. People that were not following God. People that didn't have, and in our case, after Christ, didn't have the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to come to your house, and you've heard my story. I have been to a house that Christians moved into, and the house was possessed, and I believe it, and we had a exorcism there in the house. But I don't believe a Christian can be possessed. So the third stage, the possession of demons, I believe is those who are not Christians, those who do not have the Holy Spirit as resident in their heart. They can have demons. Might not, but they can have demons that take residence in their life. They are demon possessed. And I want to say this. When Jesus went through the countryside, before he healed many people, he cast out demons. Why? This is important to your own individual theology. Because I believe until the demons had been cast out, misplaced something. Until the demons were cast out, the Holy Spirit couldn't come in and the healing couldn't come in. You see, if the healing for somebody comes from the Lord God, which I believe it does, and you have demons in your life, how can the demons allow you to be healed? They will inflict sickness. I really think when we go to pray with someone who is not a Christian, and is one of the things we ought to pray is for the demons to be cast out of them. They're not going to see the truth till the demons are cast out, right? Because their life is based on the lies of the demons within them. Y'all getting this? So, whenever one of the things I do when I talk with somebody about Jesus is I look them straight in the eye, and if I feel like there's a glaze, there's something blocking that, then there's some kind of lie that needs to be extirpated, needs to come out. And I'll pray, Lord, take that lie away from them. Take those demons, if they're demon-possessed, take the demons off of them. Release them right now in the name of Jesus. And by the way, you have that authority to do that as a Christian. Do you understand that? This means yes. This means no. It just helps me. Okay? If you have authority, you also have the obligation, if you have the authority, to address that with the Lord on the behalf of people that you meet. But I want to go back to stage one and two, because that is where most of us are. We can have strongholds, even as a Christian. When you became a Christian, and Christ saved you and washed you clean of your sins, demons were expelled, you were delivered, you still had a stronghold that needed to be. And I believe there are Christians that after their salvation, many, 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 many years later, they still have a stronghold or a lie that they've held on to for years. One is that God can't forgive me. for what I've done. Satan uses that. It's like a button that Satan pushes every once in a while to remind them. You think you're saved? You think God cares about you? Look at what you have done. And we'll push that button. There are other things. Unforgiveness is another one. And unforgiveness, and by the way, I have several, and I want to read them to you, things that cause the roots to grow. And they are unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, unholy soul ties, spoken curses, generational curses, and unholy vows. Now, I want to speak on these just a minute because I think they're important. Listen to me. Unforgiveness can cause you to have strongholds. You have an area of unforgiveness in your life, in your soul, and you have not forgiven someone. It becomes a place where Satan can breed contempt and lies in your life. You need to learn and obviously forgive those who've offended you. If you have not forgiven, then God's forgiveness is hard pressed, even in your own life. You can read many scriptures on that, and I have many in this section on forgiveness, but we are to forgive. And also, we are to realize we have been forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. So forgiveness is very important. We need to forgive those who've offended us. We need to ask forgiveness for those that we have offended. And the last one is, we need to forgive ourselves. Okay? If you don't get anything else in this sermon, realize that can be a stronghold in your life that's hindering your walk with Christ, that's hindering your walk with God. The second is unconfessed sins. And you say, well, I can't remember all my sins. Well, God will let you know. And if you have unconfessed sins that you're not willing to admit with God, then those sins can become a place where you try. By the way, when you have unforgiveness and you have unconfessed sins and you have the others that I'm going to talk about, here, listen, it becomes, you create lies to protect that. Well, I can't really forgive that person because I think that person's demon-possessed. All right, I think that person's just evil. All right, that person did me wrong. I can't forgive them. And more you create more lies to protect that stronghold in your life. So you need to forgive and you need to confess your sins. The third one is unholy soul ties. In 1 Corinthians 6:16, what know you not that you have joined to a harlot is in one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now, what that's talking about is this. If any of you have ever seen a couple and one says, that's my soulmate. Okay? Some marriages, I don't think it occurs, but hopefully, in most marriages, especially Christian marriages, your wife is your soulmate. Why is he or she your soulmate? Because they lift you up. They are so involved with you that their very soul and your soul become one. And you bear them up and they bear you up. But here's a problem. If you, and Paul said, don't be unequally yoked. What was he talking about? If you marry someone or have a relationship that's a soulmate type of relationship and they've got all kinds of evil things going on in their hearts or they're demon possessed or they got demons in them, if you have had a soul experience with them, that can wear off on you. You can be touched by them. And years later, from that particular experience, you can still be struggling with a relationship with someone who was far from God, who brought into your life unholy situation. We call it unholy soul ties. So I don't know if that could be a stronghold with someone. That could be the cause of a stronghold. Another is spoken curses. Your words have the power of life and death in Proverbs 18:21. Do you know there are some people who walk around going, one of the things that gets me perturbed, really upsets me, is when I hear a parent say, "Well, you're just a bad boy." And they'll laugh about it. You're just a bad boy, aren't you? I'm sitting there going, don't call your kids bad. From now on, the kid's going to think they're bad. And they're just going to do what you claimed on them. Do you know we can claim curses on our children? Claim goodness on your children. Claim godliness on your children. But if you might have spoken, or your parents might have spoken, a curse over you, and that curse is still with you. I know some adults, I've sat down with them and counseled with them, and they go all the way back to their childhood. And their real struggle is to go all the way back to the child when they were given a curse by either the parents or somebody, and they've held on to it. It's festered. It's become a stronghold. They can't get past it. We are to apply the Word of God to all of these, because the Word of God says who we are in Christ. We are no longer the curse that we heard as a child. We are in Christ, and in Christ we are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Claim what Christ has done in you, not the curses that you hear. And the other is generational curses. Did you know that you can walk around with a generational curse? It can go through your family. There's people that debate on that. And I've even debated a couple of people on that. They don't believe it. I do believe it. And I do believe that there are people that their great-great-grandfather, they don't even know where it came from, but somewhere back there, there was some kind of sin that was so strong, it's carried generationally along. And we already know for a fact, scientifically, that your genetic makeup is affected by certain things. For instance, do you know that alcoholism is passed down in a genetic link? Did you know that hatred is and high temper, they found a genetic link in families? We can have things passed down to us and be born with them that we feel like we have no control over. But the Word of God gives us victory over those things. And so when I read the Word of God that tells me who I am, who God is, and how God sees me, then amazingly, I begin to see a different person. I no longer claim in my life the things that are in the stronghold that have been holding on to for years. I start claiming who Christ sees me as. And I start walking in that victory. I believe that if you've been lied and deceived, and you've accepted those lies, you might have a stronghold. Some of you might have bitter roots. Roots, the scripture talks about bitter roots that have sunk down in a particular area of your life. Roots that might go all the way back to your childhood. And they need to be plucked out by the roots. I mean, the roots have got to be torn out. But the roots can't be torn out with anything but the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that works in your life. Now, I know that this was a deep and dark subject for a dark day, I guess. But I want you to understand, I believe this is the deliverance. After you become a Christian, you still need to know how to seek God's deliverance from things that come against you as a Christian. And the strongholds have to come down. Too many Christians walk around defeated because they don't get rid of the strongholds. I'm going to ask us right now, in closing, just going to ask you right now, for everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes.